For King and Country, it's not over yet. A very good evening to you, and welcome along to the Power Hour here on Gospel for Grampian. Now, that particular track, I think, leads nicely into the theme for this Power Hour this evening. It's not over yet, even when you think it is. Even when life looks that, well, really uncertain and there are too many question marks, I think life will always be like that. Yet, I'm coming to realise that when you look at the horizon and make God your horizon, instead of seeing the horizon, yes, going up and down, it does become that bit more steady. Now, all through Scripture, and certainly in the Old Testament is littered with situations where the Israelites took their eyes off God, and things became rather bumpy for them indeed. And the scripture I'm going to be reading out is no exception. But for those who are new to the Power Hour, what's the Power Hour all about? The Power Hour is about prayer, but it's more than that. Prayer is about talking to God. It's talking to God about what's on your heart. It's about applying God's word in your life, yes. And it's coming into agreement and acknowledging that we ourselves, those of us who say that Jesus Christ is Lord and Saviour, that we ourselves are but barely saved, and it's Christ who helps us forward. Let's keep that in mind as we go into this programme, this Power Hour. Now, during this Power Hour, we will be doing some readings, and the first reading is taken from 1 Samuel chapter 7, and then there will be readings from other scriptures as well. There will be prayers as well, and we invite you to join along with us, and we invite you also as well, because it'll be interesting for us, and hopefully an encouragement to others, if you got in contact with us and let us know about times when you've been uncertain about things, but you put your trust in God, and he's come through for you. It will be of encouragement to others, especially if you tell us what Bible verses you actually drew comfort from. How can other people maybe learn or gain help from your experiences? So let's go into 1 Samuel chapter 7. And we'll just start a little bit of the way down the chapter. Starting off at verse 3. This is referring to the Ark of the Covenant, which had remained in Kiriath Jearim for a long time, 20 years in all. During that time, all Israel mourned because it seemed the Lord had abandoned them. This is in verse 2 of 1 Samuel 7. Then Samuel said to all the people of Israel, "If you want to return to the Lord with all your hearts, get rid of your foreign gods and your images of Ashtoreth. Turn your hearts to the Lord and obey him alone. Then he will rescue you from the Philistines." So the Israelites got rid of their images to Baal and Ashtoreth and worshipped only the Lord. Then Samuel told them, "Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you." So they gathered at Mizpah, and in a great ceremony drew water from a well and poured it out before the Lord. They also went without food all day and confessed that they had sinned against the Lord. It was at Mizpah that Samuel became Israel's judge. When the Philistine rulers heard that Israel had gathered at Mizpah, they mobilized their army and advanced. The Israelites were badly frightened when they learned that the Israelites were approaching. "Don't stop pleading with the Lord our God to save us from the Philistines," they begged Samuel. So Samuel took a young lamb and offered it to the Lord as a whole burnt offering. He pleaded with the Lord to help Israel, and the Lord answered him. Just as Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, the Philistines arrived to attack Israel. But the Lord spoke with a mighty voice of thunder from heaven that day, and the Israelites were thrown into such confusion that the Israelites defeated them. The men of Israel chased them from Mizpah to a place below Beth Kar, slaughtering them all along the way. Then Samuel took a large stone and placed it between the towns of Mizpah and Jeshanah. He named it Ebenezer, which means the stone of help, for he said, up to this point, the Lord has helped us. So it goes on to say, in the Philistines were subdued and didn't invade Israel again for some time. And throughout Samuel's lifetime, the Lord's powerful hand was raised against the Philistines. So in this particular scripture, we can see how when the Israelites humbled themselves before God, and with a leader like Samuel, the Lord responded, and he threw the Philistines into confusion so that they did not attack Israel. And God will do that for you and for me. When things get to us, he will do that. And Samuel's response was to set up a stone. The stone he called Ebenezer, the stone of help. It's a remembrance of what God did. Now, my question to you is, how many times have you or I actually done something similar? Setting up a memorial, but something to remind ourselves and celebrate and place into history, a place into our remembrance, what God has done. And if you look through all of the Old Testament and the New Testament too, we see how celebrating what God has done is extremely important. It's important to God. It's God's way of getting us to remember what he has done for us. It's easy to look at the bad things in life and to complain about things that happened, to complain about people who do things or don't do things that we think they should, do things that they think they shouldn't. It's easy to complain about so many things. But at the end of the day, let's keep our focus on God. And God's word says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. Proverbs 3, verse 6. So again, the question, when was the last time you or I properly remembered what God had done for us? Well, one of the ways in which we can do that is to write things down. Write things down when God has done something amazing for us. And that provides then a testimony. Go out and tell other people. And of course, the other thing that we can do is to pray, to give thanks to God. And God quite often had people celebrating. I mean, with food, with beer and with wine. Well, we do that. We do celebrate. And many times say, oh, that was really good. We'll celebrate with something. But how often do we remember God when we celebrate? When God's done something good for us. Let's come to God in prayer right now. And first of all, saying to God, Lord, I'm sorry when we have not recognized you in the things that you have done for us. The next thing after that we need to do is to ask God to help us to not only recognize, but to fully thank God for the things that he has done, to get us into a good habit of writing things down, which I suppose is the modern equivalent of setting a stone up as a memorial. We can write things down, be it on our tablets, be it actually handwriting in a diary. We can do that. we can tell other people. And Jesus told stories. For example, the parables that he told about the woman who had lost a coin, and she swept and swept and swept and searched for that coin, then found that coin, and then said, "Rejoice with me for this coin that I've lost, and I've now found that." She called her neighbours in and she celebrated. Oh, indeed, the celebrations that went with that lost son, the son who went off to a faraway land and squandered his father's wealth. Then, realizing his predicament, realizing that he had completely messed things up, he realized that he needed his dad. He came back to his dad, and his dad celebrated. And this is how God is with us. When we come back, when we come to God with a repentant heart, God is faithful and just. He will forgive us. And so when we're ready to forgive others, God forgives us, and he will forgive us fully. What am I saying? It is about celebrating God's goodness to us. Let's go and pray just now. Heavenly Father, Lord, as I think about it, there's so many things that we can pray about. So many things that we can give thanks for. Not only thanks for our lives. Even though I have not yet seen what you have planned, your word tells me, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive all the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Indeed, our thoughts are not your thoughts, and our ways are not your ways. Your ways are higher than our ways, and your thoughts than our thoughts. You said, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And all your ways acknowledge him. You've taught us not to be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present our requests before you. Lord, you've told us, you've told me so many times, do I not know the end from the beginning? And just now I'm reminded, listeners, of another scripture that about he who started a good work in you will carry it forward to completion. Yes, Lord God, I realize, Lord, that you are still working with me. You are still working with each one of us. Lord, you love us so much, Lord, that you sent your only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross in our place, that each one of us, though we are less than deserving of anything good, might have everlasting life and a rich relationship with you. Though, Lord, we don't deserve it, yet, Lord God, you are willing to give that. And so, Lord God, one of the greatest things is to acknowledge your love to us through what your Son did on the cross. Acknowledging you for your love and for your grace. Acknowledging you for your word. Acknowledging you for your great faithfulness. Acknowledging you for the fact that we have a roof over our head. Acknowledging you, in the case of the station, for we celebrate 10 years of broadcasting. Acknowledging you for our families. Thanking you for the good things that you've done in our lives. And Lord God, how you have enabled me to avoid having to go and testify against friends in court. You've enabled me to have a hope and a future. For your word says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper, not to harm. Plans to give you hope and a future. Your word is faithful and true. Thank you, Lord God. And Lord, I pray that even as these prayers are made live on the air, and as people get to hear them, whether now or as part of a podcast, that they too would acknowledge in their hearts not only their need for you, but a remembrance of all that you have done. Lord, it's too easy to forget, and Lord, I'm sorry when we have forgotten. Please now, bring to our minds all the things that you have done and continue to do for us. Help us to be faithful, to record it by way of writing it down, to celebrate it with others in just the same way as you have shown us how to do. Lord, I'm reminded of Zacchaeus, who climbed up into a tree. Zacchaeus, the tax collector, who was unloved by many people because he cheated so many people. Yet, he recognized, Lord, when he had met you. You came to have a meal with him in his house. And he recognized your sovereignty. He recognized his need of you. He recognized how he had cheated people out of money. He recognized that he had the capacity to give that money back to others. And he did so. And you said, salvation has come to this house this day. You celebrated, Lord. And Lord God, in just the same way, Lord, you celebrate over each one of us. You celebrate even over the worst sinner when they come back. Yes, Lord God, I thank you, Lord, that there is hope for each one of us. And Lord, just as we are human, barely saved, saved by the grace that is given to us, by that grace given when your Son died on the cross for us, so should also we be ready to love and forgive others. Be ready to be thankful for all that you have given to us. And indeed, listeners, one of the ways in which we can further thank God and further glorify God is to live our lives in such a way that is pleasing to God. How can we do that? We're only human. We often go back on our word, and that's by keeping God in focus the whole time. So the next prayer we're going to pray, the next prayers, is simply, again, our frailty. Lord, help us in our frailty, because we don't know, and we're just human. Lord God, it's easy to make promises, and so many of us, we do. I know I have. And we say, Lord, if you do this, we'll do that. And then, Lord, because we're human, we forget and we go back on our words. How many times have I failed to do what I said I was going to do? Yet, Lord, you are faithful, you are just, and you help and you enable. Lord, we are barely saved. We are barely right. You make us, your Son made us right with you. And because of that grace, you've given us that hope, that we can have that hope in you, that we can have that hope that will enable us to live our lives in such a way that is pleasing to you. Lord, I pray that even as these prayers go out right now, you will help each and every person, each and every believer, and each and every person who is either listening or listen to the podcasts, or even as this broadcast and podcast go out, that they would be affected inwardly in their spirit as these prayers go out, and that you, Lord, would draw them to you by your love. Lord God, that they would know their need for you. They would accept in their lives that each one of us can do nothing without you. Each one of us is badly in need of help. All the gifts, the education, all the money, all the promises, all the buildings, all the work is of no consequence. And your word clearly says, unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers labor in vain. Lord, I don't want to be laboring in vain any longer. And Lord God, you've given to me, as you've given to each person, a destiny. You've given to each person a job to do. With your help, Lord, I can do that. I pray that each person, Lord, would discover their destiny. Each person, Lord God, would discover their potential. And as part of that potential, Lord God, may there be no greed or selfishness or pride or fear, because these are all enemies. And yet so many people are fearful of losing control if they allow certain things into their lives. So they push things away in fear. They're so afraid of losing their position, and yet, even with humility and realizing, Lord, that we cannot do anything except trust, then comes a move forward. Now, one of the things that I am reminded of just now is about wisdom. And I'm going to have a wee look at this one. And this is taken from Job. Job is speaking of wisdom and understanding. People know where to mine silver and how to refine gold. They know where to dig iron from the earth and how to smelt copper from the rock. They know how to shine light in the darkness and explore the furthest regions of the earth. As they search in the dark for ore, they sink a mine shaft into the earth, far from where anyone lives. They descend on ropes swinging back and forth. Food is grown on the earth above, but down below, the earth is melted as by fire. Here the rocks contain precious lapis lazuli, and the dust contains gold. These are treasures no bird of prey can see, no fowl can eye observe. No wild animal has walked upon these treasures. No lion has ever set his paw there. People know how to tear apart flinty rocks and overturn the roots of mountains. They cut tunnels in the rocks and uncover precious stones. They dam up the trickling streams and bring to light the hidden treasures. But do people know where to find wisdom? Where can they find understanding? No one knows where to find it, for it is not found among the living. It is not here, says the ocean, nor is it here, says the sea. It cannot be bought with gold. It cannot be purchased with silver. It's worth more than all the gold of Ophir, greater than the precious onyx or lapis lazuli. Wisdom is more valuable than gold and crystal. It cannot be purchased with jewels mounted in fine gold. Coral and jasper are worthless in trying to get it. The price of wisdom is far above rubies. Precious peridot from Ethiopia cannot be exchanged for it. It's worth more than the finest gold. But do people know where to find wisdom? Where can they find understanding? It's hidden from the eyes of all humanity. Even the sharp-eyed birds in the sky cannot discover it. Destruction and death say, we've heard only rumours of where wisdom can be found. God alone understands the way to wisdom. He knows where it can be found, for he looks throughout the whole earth and sees everything under the heavens. He decided how hard the winds should blow and how much rain should fall. He made the laws for the rain and laid out a path for the lightning. Then he saw wisdom and evaluated it. He set it in place and examined it thoroughly. And this is what he says to all humanity. Humanity, the fear of the Lord is true wisdom. To forsake evil is real understanding. And the point of reading this scripture out? Why read the scripture out? It's because wisdom came first before all people. We have a human wisdom, I suppose, which you can regard as common sense. But then there's wisdom that comes from God, and only God knows where to find it. And it's telling us that this passage tells us that wisdom is far above everything. Only God knows how to get hold of it. If we ask him, he will give us that wisdom. And as we ask for wisdom and we're ready to receive it, God will give that. But some folks, when they've read the Bible, may well have heard about Solomon. When Solomon was about to become king fully, or in fact just after he'd become king, God appeared to him in a dream and said, Solomon, I'm prepared to give you anything. Ask me. And Solomon said, Lord, I don't know how to manage this country, so please give me wisdom and understanding. And God was really pleased and said, yeah, I will. And because you've asked for this, I'm well pleased, but I'll also give you the things that you haven't asked for. So Solomon ended up with a lot of wisdom. And that wisdom is available to you and available to me. And with it comes much more than we could ever think of or ask. But in all times, whether in good or bad, keeping our eyes on God is the most important thing that we can do. And it's part, indeed, of our worship, part of our thanksgiving. Is to keep our eyes on God. Giving thanks, trusting, and being obedient. And once we do these things, and we ask God to help us in our understanding, God will. God is pleased when we seek him. And as part of that, we're thanking him, we're recognizing him. And we can celebrate with God. The fear of the Lord is true wisdom. To forsake evil is real understanding. Job 28. You tuned into Gospel for Grampian, and this program is called The Power Hour. And I know we've been, it seems, going about the houses a bit, because we've been talking right at the start about celebrating. When was the last time you or I celebrated something that God has done? And we look through the Bible and we can see in the Bible, and then look in our own lives and see how much God has done. There are lessons in the Bible that are ready for each one of us to learn if we would but. There's also our direct contact with God, and that contact is through prayer. Asking God for things, being ready to ask, but also being ready to listen. If we're constantly asking, we aren't going to be listening. Lord Jesus Christ, in front of us, we have a future. And Lord, you would have us that we would put our trust fully in you. Yet I know, and you know, Lord, that as we go through life, there's so many challenges, there's so many distractions, and we are easily distracted, and we take our eyes off you. Firstly, Lord, please forgive us for that in advance. But Lord, I'm praying not only for myself, but I'm praying, Lord God, for those who are listening. I'm praying, Lord God, for the people of Scotland, for the people of the United Kingdom, for the people of Europe, for the people of Russia, Asia, China, for the people of Africa, for the people of South and North America, for the people of Australia and all in the Pacific. Lord, I'm praying for people all over the world, that each one of us might discover something of you. Lord, you've also put onto my heart a very big and great vision that only you, Lord, can fulfill. Now, listeners, this brings us on to the next part of the program. And that's about celebrating, yes, as we go along. I mentioned just now in a prayer how God has put a very big vision on my heart. And it's such a big vision, I don't know how to fulfill it. Yet all I can do is to put one step in front of the other. Even that is acting in faith. Even that, perhaps you could even consider that as a form of celebrating, because we're acting in faith, because we're believing, because we're stepping out. Let me tell you about the vision that God has given me, but I challenge you to not only ask God for wisdom, but even before you do that, ask him for forgiveness, as we have done. Forgiveness for not having thanked him before. Forgiveness where we've got things wrong. Asking God for a vision. And this is what God has given me. At one time, listeners, I have to say, I had no hope of anything. I was bottom of the class, and really rock bottom. Wasn't doing very well at school, used to daydream, everything. And I'm sure that some people might even think back to their own school days. Perhaps some might even be at school at the moment and thinking, why do we have to sit through this boring teaching? I used to hate maths. It was a complete anathema to me. And many aspects of maths still are. Yet if it wasn't for maths, I wouldn't have this radio station. I wouldn't be able to broadcast, because people have gone before and people have actually used the wisdom that God has given them to actually produce all this technology. Think about the technology that you have. God has done that. Anyway, back to our vision. I didn't have any hope of anything, not even getting qualifications. And I think at one time I was so bad that even Dad was thinking of throwing me out. I had warnings to that effect, so I think they must have been thinking about it. But then I came to God. God treated me gently as I prayed. God treated me with respect. He lifted me up. He's given me a hope and a future. He gave me qualifications. So I've got CSEs, I've got GCSEs, I've got O-levels, I've got A-levels. I've got other qualifications, including a degree, which I never had any hope of doing before. I've got a driving license. I've had experience with jobs. experience with radio. Why am I telling you this? Because I am celebrating what God has given. Yet I still did things wrong. You look through the Bible, the Israelites did things wrong. All we can do is to come back to God and say, I'm messed up. God is faithful to forgive. Here's a thought. How many times should we forgive? Peter thought it was 7 times, but Jesus turned round to him and said, no, not 7 times, but some people say 77 times or 70 times 7. That means keep on forgiving. Anyway, God is faithful to forgive when we come back to him. And it means that even when we're fluffed up, messed up, that we can come back to God and say, Lord, please give me a vision. God did. God has given me a vision, and it's a much bigger vision than ever I could have imagined. At one time I thought it was just about radio, but it's not. It's much more than that. It's about people's lives. And so the whole ethos of the station here is about engaging, equipping, enabling people to live life to the full with Christ Jesus at the centre. That's a good vision, but it's nowhere near big enough. Even God told me at that when I first set it up, Gospel for Grampian, but it's a local station. But what we're going is for a global vision, not global dominion or dominance for dominance's sake or for dominion's sake. That's not what it's about. It's about sharing the love that Jesus has given us. How can we do that? By all believers putting aside all fear or selfishness, politics, agendas of any type, differences of any type, coming together and responding to the needs in local communities. Imagine that being done all over the world, where believers come together from whatever walk of life, from whatever background, each one with skills and abilities, each one able to help others. And when you mesh those together and start thinking joined up, think how many people you could help in different ways. People who would not otherwise get the opportunity to be anything. But everyone has a destiny. Unfortunately, some people are prevented from reaching that destiny. But this vision can help many more to reach that destiny and so make the world a better place. This, indeed, is the vision. And I thank God for that, but it's way more than I could ever achieve on my own. And as part of this vision, unity of response, 3 words that the Lord gave me in 2010, this vision is for all believers. All believers from whatever denomination. And it doesn't leave anyone out. And it means that all believers are relevant. No one should be considered irrelevant by any church or organization. But believers are relevant. So it means the most humble person, whether they be a cleaner, whether they be actually helping with a kids ministry, whether they be helping with a food outreach ministry, whether they be in teaching, whether they be in finance or in computers or whatever, each of them is essential and each can contribute to a much wider vision. It takes everyone. That's what God has put on my heart. Now, imagine if everyone, every believer who's listening to this today, takes that vision and runs with it. also within mind the vision that God has given them. Think very carefully about that vision that God has given you. Is that vision from God? Let's go and pray into that and see how each of us can glorify God by not only seeking Him, but doing what God has called us to do. And as we've already said, celebrating what God has done, what God continues to do, either by writing it down, telling neighbours, it's about telling others, and by doing that, we not only lift God's name up, but we encourage others so that they can do the same. It's all part of that vision. Heavenly Father, Lord God, you have indeed placed a big vision on my heart. It's going to take each and every person to do that. Not so that at the end I can say I did it all on my own, but no, this vision is too big for me. And I pray that each person, you would give each person the heart and the humility to ask you for the vision that you would give to them. A vision that is far beyond their normal capabilities. A vision whereby they will glorify you. A vision whereby they will encourage others as they proceed on with that vision. A vision which will mesh fully into unity of response. A vision that will enable others, Lord God, who do not yet know you, to fully appreciate, fully even accept the gospel, to experience the love and the goodness. Lord God, let there be love in each and every person's heart. Let there be peace instead of strife. Lord, I'm thinking about the war-torn areas of the world, where there are people who are fanatics, where there are people who are just out to ruin the lives of others. Lord God, these people themselves, those who are trying to destroy, may they experience the goodness of the gospel in a way that they have not done before. Let them be arrested in their tracks. Lord God, your word tells us not to seek revenge, but to leave that to you. Lord, and I pray that as people start out and start thinking about this, they would see these words that have come out of my mouth not as wishy-washy, but as words with truth, because, Lord, I believe that they come from you. So thank you, Lord, that you do this. You are doing this. And you will make things to your glory. Lord, there are so many people who I know are anxiously wondering how things are going to turn out for them. I pray, Lord, that you will give them courage and peace of mind. Peace of mind, whatever situation they're in, especially where they're in war-torn areas, especially where they're looking over their shoulders and thinking whether terror organisations are going to just come along and affect their whole family. Lord, let that not be the case. Let them have peace in their hearts. Let those who are hell-bent on terror be completely turned round. Lord God, just as you did with the Philistines, when the Israelites were crying out and you spoke into that situation. You thundered from heaven that day, because the Israelites in First Samuel chapter 7, they cried out, and Samuel sacrificed an animal. Blood was shed. You recognized that, and you thundered from heaven that day, and threw the Philistines into such a confusion that they dissipated. May that be the case. Even right now, you said the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Lord, I can do nothing without you. I recognize that. Lord, let the words that I say have that power, that you will indeed thunder, and all the terror organizations of the world, whoever they are, will be thrown into such complete confusion and horror that they are easily defeated. Lord God, you have done that time and time and time again with the Israelites and the Philistines. It wasn't just then, but you actually did that in other situations. And you even enabled it such that they completely ran off and left their tents and everything inside those tents, so that the people of Jerusalem, which was under siege, could come out and replenish supplies. Lord, you are good to each one of us. Lord, we thank you. How often do we fail to thank you for all that you have done? I thank you also for, Lord, you have guided me through this program. You, Lord, have given me the words, the prayers, the Bible scriptures that need to be said, that need to be spoken. Lord, let it be that your word would, by your Spirit, penetrate every heart and every mind. Let people be challenged. Let people be encouraged, inspired, enabled, engaged to go out and make a difference in their own lives. And as they do, may they celebrate. Celebrate with all their hearts. Celebrate even as David did when they were bringing the Ark of the Covenant back into Jerusalem. David just let go. He let rip, and he celebrated with all his heart and all his mind. Let us do that with all our hearts and all our minds, freely, and not in any way seen before. But let us do that with all our hearts. And why? Not only so that your name be lifted high, but so that you might bring and gain glory from what you do in people's lives. I'm sure, Lord, that many people, though they don't know how, would love to see not any more miracles, but many of the problems in this world sorted out. But I pray that each one of us would also realize that what we need to do is to love, to serve, to pray. And you, Lord, have made that a real probability. You've told us to pray about everything, and everything by petition and with thanksgiving. to pray about everything. You have made that possible. And I thank you, Lord, for making this broadcast possible. The recording of the broadcast possible. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Now to finish, I pray, Lord, a prayer and a blessing over each and every person. And I believe it comes from Isaiah 61. But I will also, I will be finishing off with an Aramaic or a paraphrase of an Aramaic blessing. But let's go into this one, Isaiah 61. And we'll read the whole of this one. And this is, it starts off with good news for the oppressed. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that at the time of the Lord's favour has come, and with it the day of God's anger against their enemies. To all who mourn in Israel, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. In their righteousness they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for his own glory. They will rebuild the ancient ruins, repairing cities destroyed long ago. They will revive them. Though they have been deserted for many generations, foreigners will be your servants. They will feed your flocks, plough your fields, and tend your vineyards. You'll be called priests of the Lord, ministers of our God. You'll feed on the treasures of the nations and boast in their riches. Instead of shame and dishonour, you'll enjoy a double share of the honour. You'll possess a double portion of prosperity in your hand, and everlasting joy will be yours. Now in verse 8 then says, for I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. I will faithfully reward my people for their suffering and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be recognized and honored among all nations. Everyone will realize that they are people the Lord has blessed. I am overwhelmed with joy in the Lord my God, for he has dressed me in the clothing of salvation and draped me in a robe of righteousness. I am like a bridegroom dressed for his wedding, or bride with her jewels. The Sovereign Lord will show his justice to the nations of the world. Everyone will praise him. His righteousness will be like a garden in early spring, with plants springing up everywhere. Now I'm going to, as I say, I believe I need to finish off this program by thanking you for listening in, praying a blessing upon you. May the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face to shine upon you. Amen. And I would say, all the blessings of Abraham. Listeners, please do get in touch with us with any queries. If you've got any answers to prayer, it's info@g4g.org.uk. We do also have a Twitter site, and it's #g4gprayer. Through to @gospel4. And as I said, email is info@g4g.org.uk. We'll be back again next week. And on the 16th of this month, we'll be joined by Colin and Madeline Windsor from Journey of the Christian Faith Ministries. They're based in Hounslow in London, but they have a real heart to be praying about revival. But as we've been discovering today and before, revival starts in the heart. Revival starts with each one of us. Prayer starts with each one of us. A challenge, why not get to know God that bit better? Keep your eye on him and remember to thank him for the things that he has done. Remember, Christ died for each one of us, that each of us can have everlasting life and a rich relationship with God. We've done nothing that we can deserve that, but God has given that freely. We are sinners, barely saved, but we are saved through faith, and it's God's grace that helps us to do this. We're going to be finishing off for the purposes of this program with Marlene O'Neill, He Touched Me. And then, following on from that, we'll be going into the rest of our evening's programming. Thanks very much for listening. The podcast will be available soon. God bless and bye-bye.